on January the 16th, Bob messed up. He spoke to the young people, and I told him after the service, I said, Bob, I'm just going to get up and say ditto after you preach that sermon. But I am very happy to have you here tonight to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's what we're about. We're here to magnify his name. We're here to praise him, and we're to honor him. And we have guests with us tonight. We have a friend of the family, Danielle Ivey, is with us, and I'd like for you to meet her and welcome her and get her to come back and be with us whenever the opportunity arises. We're glad that you're here. And I want to say this about this congregation. You are people who truly love the Lord. And I'm speaking from a number of years of experience as a Christian. I've got to turn my mic on. Where are you? We're here to worship tonight in truth and in spirit. John 4:23-24. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We know this, that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he will be with us. And we know that our Father is with us this very evening. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. And we do not fool him. We are here to worship and to serve him. The Bible is God's word and his efforts to save us. When we read the Bible, anyone who reads the Bible and takes it sincerely, you will know what you need to do to obey the gospel and to become a Christian. I can tell you that as a beginning school teacher in 1959, I taught at Phillips High School, and I went to the school that summer and got all of my books because I'm teaching government and economics, and I've forgotten the other subject. But I got the books that summer, and I spent an entire summer studying those lessons that I was going to present. The first day that I got up, I told them everything that I knew in my life in 15 minutes. And so it may end up that way tonight, but if it is, that's just the way it is. I want to say something that I hope that everyone in this audience feels, that we have godly men serving as elders in the congregation here. I think that if we ask everyone, it would be 100%. We're so thankful that we have men like our elders to lead us and guide us. And we can find that in Titus 1:6-9, and 1 Timothy 3:1-8, and we have deacons the very same way. We have godly men who serve in the capacity as deacons in the church. I'm not here to talk about the qualifications of elders and deacons, but I just wanted to say how thankful that I am that I can worship at a congregation where we have godly men who are in this capacity today. Brother Gene Delk, if you remember, he had a quarter on Hebrews, and he spoke about the qualifications of elders and deacons, and there were four things that I remember, if I can remember them now, that our elders, we are to submit to them. We're to obey them, for they watch for our souls. Think about what an important task that is for men who serve in this capacity as elders, and they will have to give an account of how they handle the word. So we must remember this about our deacons and elders. Now I want to say something before I get into the lesson about this congregation. Of all of the places that I've ever been fortunate enough to worship, this is one of the greatest congregations that I've ever been associated with. We have godly people. We get along together. We don't have disputes. We love each other. We like to be with each other. And I want to tell you a few things, and I'll leave some of them out, I know. But we have people who lock and unlock the building. We have people who do the screen here of the things that we're going to do. We have people who prepare the Lord's Supper. We have these men who wait on the Lord's table every first day of the week. We have those who lead us in prayer that is public and in private. And I will say this. I don't see Landon here tonight, but I know Brother Landon and Brother Gerald Holt. Gerald Holt's not here any longer. But Brother Gerald, there were things that they said in some comments. Brother Gerald said, prayer, it's your attitude and not your altitude. Think about that. And that has stuck with me. He made that comment once in a class here, that it is your attitude and not your altitude. We pray to God and we cast all of our burdens on Him. Just think about this. Sometimes that you, and as Brother Landon said, he said, when I was in school at Samford, he said, I'd hear students come out of the class and say, I'm going to my room and pray. And I thought about that a lot. I know that we have people who lead us in public prayer, but we all have places that we like to go to where we can either kneel, we can be prostrate, we can stand up, whatever the thing is there, and that we can talk to our Father in heaven, and we can rest assured that He will hear us. We can rest assured that He will hear us. And we're fortunate to have people like that. In Ephesians 4:11, and He gave some as apostles, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers. I want to say this about our teachers. If you haven't been by, and I'm guilty of this, when I found out 3 months ago that I was going to do this lesson, I'm going to go see what's happening. I'm going to look at those doors. If you haven't been by to see the doors of how they are decorated and whatever we are studying that quarter, you need to go by and look and go in the classroom and just see what's going on in that classroom. We have such wonderful teachers here, and they are teaching young people the Word of God. They're teaching them to obey God at some time in their life. We're fortunate, though, that we have here at Oak Mount, and my opinion is, every member here is a teacher. You may say, well, I don't teach in the classroom publicly, but you're a teacher. When I say this right here, think about what you do. When you go home in your neighborhood, you're teaching. People see you for what you are. They know us. They know that we are different, that we're supposed to be different. Where you trade, people see you. Your lifestyle. They look and see how you're dressed. They look and see your language. They know all about us and what we stand for as Christians. And that is so important, because you never know you are influencing people when you become a Christian. You're influencing. One way or the other, you are influencing them, and you can't get out of this. People really see us. They see us for what we are. But we are fortunate at Oak Mountain to have such great teachers. And I congratulate you teachers. Until I did this, I would see it and just pass right on by, but you are to be commended for the work that you do with our young people. Here's some points that I think that Christians are not. Christians are not always the one to talk the most about love. They're the ones who show it by their actions in their neighborhood. Christians are not likely to be the most visible in the public eye. Just think about it. You don't see Christians as general being the president of the United States or being a coach of some major university or something of that nature. Christians aren't that. Christians are not likely to be the one you hear the most about or from. They live their life for Christ. We live our life for Christ. And a real dedicated Christian is one who loves his neighbor as himself. Think about that. The great command to put God first in our lives and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And you are an influence where you live. You cannot escape it. You are an influence on those people who are in your neighborhood and are around you. Where you work, you're an influence. He lives his life without fanfare and seeks no praise from men. Our praise is from God. That's who we want. We want to magnify His name, and we want to praise Him, and we want to worship Him. He doesn't owe us anything. We owe him everything. And that's what we should be doing as Christians, who loves and is interested in the elderly. Think about that. I know that some of us are getting older there, and one day those people who are our children, we're going to expect them to look after us. My mother is in a nursing home and has been for 6 or 7 years. She's completely 24/7, cannot do anything. She still has her mind, but we try to go and see her twice a week. And that means so much to her. That means so much to your parents and your grandparents. Has time for questions of children. Think of that. Mother, why? Why did you do this? Why did they do that? And you have time. You don't just say, well, go on and don't bother me. I've got things to do. Children see parents break the law. Children see parents break the law. Let me tell you this, from spending 40 years in education, 54% of our kids today come from broken homes. 54% come from broken homes. And now that brings the thing to you people here, you young people. Just be thankful that you have godly parents. I don't know if you do or if you don't, but you need to go home and you need to hug them and you need to let them know how much you appreciate them and how much you love them and how much you care for them. You need to do those things because those things are important. Children see parents break the law, speeding, doing drugs, and then we have the things I said, the 54% who come from broken homes. Some of them may bring somebody home that's not the husband or not the wife, and they're there for a period of time. Well, don't you think these kids see this right here? They see this. They know what's going on. And that doesn't mean that they approve of it, but they see those things. We see people, and right now is a close time. We're fixing to have to file our income taxes. We see people who lie on their income taxes, that they're supporting a dog or a horse or something like that, or they're out speeding on the highway. So those are things that we need to think of. And the Sex Act, and Brother Bob talked about this right here. Do you know that the only sure way that you can be pleasing to God until you obey the gospel and get married, till you obey the gospel and get married, is abstinence? That's the only thing. Anything else is just second class. Anything else. If you do that right there, you won't have to worry about AIDS and you won't have to worry about herpes and you won't have to worry about all of these diseases that come from sleeping around with different people. And I'm going to use a story here. I have an old 87 Ford truck. It's beat up. It's turned over. I think I'm the fourth person to ever own it. And it's got a lot of mileage on it. And I've got a friend, Frank Sledge, who has a new, white, good-looking truck that I'd swap with him anytime he wanted to swap. But you know what? If I said to you, which of these two would you rather have, young people? Every one of you would select that new truck that Brother Sledge has. Think about this when you go to selecting a mate for life. You want somebody that everybody's had? You want somebody that everybody's had? And that's what it comes down to. If you are intending to obey God, you're going to want someone who's pure and chaste, just like you. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself chaste. And don't do those things that we often see people. And this is people in the world today. We're different. We're different because we believe this and we know that God commands us that we keep ourselves pure and chaste. Other people, they don't think anything about this. A lot of times they don't think anything about this. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, remember God's law on fornication and committing adultery. Let me turn over there. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That is, they will not unless they repent and obey the gospel. And then the worst person in the world, if he or she does that, God will just wipe those sins away. You'll stand pure as the driven snow if you will just do that. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 7, verses 12 and 13. I'm not as quick as Bob is doing this. For to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband, and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. But let me tell you this. When you go to look for a mate, look for someone who has those same ideals that you have about God and about salvation. Look for someone like this right here. Does that mean that you won't ever have any problems? No, it doesn't. But it does mean this right here, that you will stick together regardless of what happens. You're not going, as a friend of mine who I taught in high school came in one day from work and he said, my wife said, let's split the blanket. She's leaving him. Those things don't happen. God, the only scriptural reason is in Matthew that we have a right for a divorce, and that's for adultery. That's the only thing. That is the only thing that you can find in the Bible, and if you can do something to, it's not because you don't like each other anymore. And someone told me one time, they said, when you get to that point, you know what you do? You repent. That's what you do. I don't love my wife anymore. What do? You repent. Start loving her. Pray to God that He'll give you time to love her, or the wife, the same way. Just think about this. Repent. That's what God wants us to do when we do that. 1 John 1-8, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are all sinners. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel, we have the blood of Jesus Christ that will wash us and cleanse us when we repent and turn back to Him. I do believe that young people are having the struggle taken out of their lives today. I really do. I see the things of parents taking their children to school. I see the parents putting spending money in their pockets. And the kids want to dress, every one of them wants to dress in the latest style. And Joe will probably, and I don't see Landon, but Joe will probably see this at Calera there, where you have children who want to be like other kids. They don't want to stand out in the crowd and say, hey, you know old Sam, there's something different about him. I believe he's a Christian. They should know that you are just by your actions there. We do a lot of the cleaning up at home. And I read something. I don't often share these things, but you ever read Abby? Talking about the things of children. Of course, nobody admitted they did, that they lied. I then had 20 items. I'd list the movie, food, and all of the things right there. Then I'd say, you taught your kids it was okay to lie, cheat, and steal. It's only getting caught that's bad. And you know, that's what happens in school today. A lot of parents, Joel, I don't know if it is. I spent 20 years in education as an assistant principal handling discipline in the school. I would have kids to come in, someone I had to suspend before, and when they came back, well, tell us, Andrew, why did you get suspended? Oh, coach, you know why I got suspended. I know. Tell us why you were suspended. Because he didn't want his mother or his father to know why he was suspended. And about 60% of the time, that mother, that father would look over and say, boy, you didn't tell me that was why you were suspended from school. And that's why we're in the shape that we're in today. We've left God out of our lives, brothers and sisters. We need to put Him back. He's a jealous God. He demands that we put Him first in our lives. And then there's one. I'm a teacher of many spoiled, lazy, irresponsible, and incompetent students. If all parents were as dedicated in rearing their children as this teen's mother, my job would be wonderful. She has the necessary parenting skills to mold her child into a responsible, productive, and mature adult. She's an awesome parent. Let me tell you something about that I have observed about Shelby County. We're so fortunate here that we have parents who are involved in their children's lives. And that goes back to what I said. Young people, you need to let your parents know how much you appreciate them. You need to hug their neck and you need to tell them how much you love them. That's something that we don't always do that we should do. But when we have people today in this immediate area, say like 25 miles around, people don't know where their kids are. They're out on the street. They don't know. I would have parents come in sometime and say, Coach said, I can't do anything with her anymore. She's 14. She's running the household. Well, I know what my daddy would have done. Spare the rod and spoil the child. That would have been the thing right there. And I've told Avis a lot of times, I would stay out when I was in the fifth or sixth grade. If we were going to eat at 5:30, I might stay out till 6 o'clock. I was willing to take that whipping just to get to stay and play longer with those guys that I was playing with. But those are things, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Proverbs, spare the rod and spoil the child. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it from him. And I think that's something that, this is my personal opinion, I think that's where schools have gone wrong today. We no longer administer anything of corporal punishment. I'm a strong believer in it. You may not be, but I am, and that's just the way it is, and that's those are things that I think that you need to do. Brother John Clemens and Brother Bob Hutto were teaching a class on prayer on Sunday morning and on Wednesday evening. And we must forgive those who have offended us. We must forgive those who've offended us. Look at Mark 11, verses 25 and 26, and see if that says the same thing to you that it says to me, and I may be wrong on this. Mark 11, 25 and 26. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you. Now this is saying to me that if I've got something against Steve back there, I've got to forgive him. I've got to forgive him whether he comes to me or not. And I might be wrong, but this is the way I read this. So that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your transgressions. Some people say that we can't take it with us. Do you ever hear that? Well, you can't take it with you when you go. You can't take it with you when you go. And they're talking about, I'm sure, earthly wealth and all of those things. But look at Revelation 14, 12, and verses 12 and 13. Revelations 14, 12 and 13. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. So that, to me, that's saying that your good deeds while you're here upon this earth, that you can send those on ahead. That's the way I interpret it, but there again, I might be wrong about those things. Some things that we can do, we can have Bible readings with our families. You can have prayer with your families. And I know that you do that. And you can bring up problems that you face on a daily basis. Now, the bad part, I've said the good things about this congregation of people here. Almost 5,000 young people commit suicide every year. Almost 5,000 young people commit suicide every year. Now, why do they do that? Because they feel hapless, they feel helpless, they feel hopeless, they don't believe in an eternal Father. And consequently, as a result of that, they do not believe in a heaven or a hell most of the times. The answer? What's wrong with this country when we have things like this? The last 17 nations that failed, was due to moral decay from within the country. Not from the country, but from the people within that country. And we are fast heading that way, brothers and sisters. We're heading that way. It looks like we're on a slippery slope just going down the hill, wide open. Moral decay. 70 million people in America, I hope this shocks you, 70 million people in America view pornographic material every week. 70 million, there's just 325 million of us, I believe. And I think Bob had this in his, but it was some information, additional information that I had received. 70 million. They either do it on the internet, they do it on the TV. You don't have to go very far. Go down here on 119. There's Hooters down there. You ever see that place? You don't go in there and trade, do you? I don't think that you do. Do you go to the mall sometimes to shop, the gallery? There's Victoria's Secret. All of the things that you see, that we see, we've come to accept it now. Homosexuality? It's just a given. They have their rights. That's what we say. But God tells us different. They can repent and be forgiven. But homosexuality is just rampant. We have it in our government. There's a fellow right now who's not going to run again. Congressman Barney Frank. Have you heard that name? He's going to get married to his live-in boyfriend before he leaves office. And that's just about the way that we have taken it in this country today. We see movie stars. They're really happy. What's the girl that you gave us, Bob? Kristen Kardashian? What, had 72 days that she stayed, or close to it, maybe less than that. See, it doesn't mean anything anymore to the people in this country. It means something to you, brothers and sisters, because you know better than that. Some of the temptations which teens face today, marriage is on the decline. In 2010, it was 54% in 2010 of the people who were getting married. But now it's down to 51%. You know what the people who are not getting married say? They're just shacking up. That's what I called it when we were growing up. They used poor economy, lack of jobs in college or trade and schools and so forth. And that's why they're not getting married. That's just simply an excuse that they use. 1 John 2:15-18. Do not love the world, teens. Do not love the world, adults. 1-7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Remember that Christ was 40 days and 40 nights without food. He was tempted, but he did not give in to the devil. And I think about this right here. Joel, I don't know if this is true where you work, but we would have a new student to come in from time to time and enroll. And by the next day, he'd already found those people who were just like him. If he was disobedient, if he wasn't following the rules, he found those people within, I don't know what it is. It's just like a magnet. They got a magnet and it just jerks them over there to them. All of those people who are just like you. If you are someone who's living by the Word of God, then you also know this right here, that you're going to attract others there. I did have a parent one time who I called and I said, Ms. So-and-so, your son's going to be suspended from school. He said, why? Well, I gave her the reason. She said, is he in your office? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, keep him there. I'll be there in 15 minutes. She came with an electric light cord. He never came back in my office again, and he was a ninth grader. Now, I know that that's they would probably frown on that today, but those are things that happen. Now, what has happened? You know what's happened to us today? The pill. And Brother Bob said that. You think about it. That set us free. The boys think, oh, it's the girls' responsibility. The girls think, well, it's the boys' responsibility. And in a school system in New York, they have started teaching sex education to students in the sixth grade. Now, it's not in New York. I can tell you right here, within 15 miles of here, they have taught young people how to use contraceptives in the classroom. They've taught them that. You know what we've done? We just stood by and let it go on. There is another case right now, and I'm not saying you know who I'm talking about, when this person has been arrested for fooling with young students. We have people in authority who should make sure that no one ever gets away with something like this. You've got board members. They do the hiring and the firing. We should make sure that we don't. Remember I said moral decay? James 2 and 8. James 2, 8 through 11. Love your neighbor as yourself. This doesn't say anything about race, creed, or color, or their status. This just says love your neighbor as yourself. Choose the right kind of people to have friends. I don't see Brother Guy Mitchell here. Is Guy here tonight? We had a thing when he was in school that I used to say to the kids, every two or three days, I would stress to them some things that I thought were important. You can't run with the buzzards and fly with the eagles. You can't run with the buzzards and fly with the eagles. Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Drug signs, quiet. Never wants to talk with family members. Eyes may be glazed over. Mood swings. Doesn't let parents meet new friends. Spends a lot of time away from family. Loses interest in school. Grades drop. Absent a lot. Suspended in Saturday school and things of this nature. Lack of energy. Talks about suicide. 50% of all people in prison today are involved with drugs, either buying or selling or using. Brother Ed Harrell, and I know that some of you, we worshiped at Westwood, a number of people, Brother Joe and Sister Mary and Brother Charles and Sister Jackie and maybe others there. Brother Ed Harrell brought a lesson one time at Westwood, and I think it may have been a series, a weekend series or something. And he said, you know what you do? He said, you can clean up drugs in the United States in 6 months. He said, you execute the sellers. Brother Ed Harrell, David Hill was a member there when these things. Now, whether you believe that or not, the number one drug used in this country is marijuana and alcohol. There are places in Shelby County. A lady within the last year or two was arrested for having a party and providing alcohol for those youngsters who were underage. She was arrested for this. You see, people get, they forget about what we're about there. And kids who are 8 or 9, they go to the refrigerator and they see the beer in there. They see the wine bottle there. And this evening when you eat, the daddy or the mother may take a drink at the table. So what kind of example are we setting? I know what kind you're setting, and I admire you. Keep on keeping on. And Bob used to say that about prayer. Just keep on keeping on. Just keep on keeping on. 20 million Americans use marijuana. I'm getting down close, y'all. I said moral decay. There is a new synthetic drug that they've taken off the market in Alabama. It's synthetic marijuana. It gives you the same high, and you could go in a 7-Eleven and a student could buy it. But they have since taken that off of the market. And I was listening to a sports talk radio show within the last 3 or 4 months, and this fella on jocks said, "I don't read the Bible." He said, "I don't read the Bible because I depend on somebody to tell me what it says." Can you believe that someone, an adult, would say, "I don't read the Bible. I just depend on," I guess he was saying, "I'm depending on my preacher to tell me what is right and what's wrong." Parents, be involved in your students' life. If things are not going well at school, go to school. Take a day off and find out what's wrong. Don't just accept the status quo. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Sex education taught in some schools in the 6th grade. Matthew 19:9. Whosoever divorces his wife, I've gone over that. And the church today, we are doing things that we would say are not conservative sometimes in what the Bible teaches. We've drifted away. We have welfare programs. You know who the welfare program, it depends upon each of us as individuals to help those brothers and sisters. Or Galatians 6:10, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Do good to all men, especially. That doesn't say anything about your color, your race, or any of those things. Do good to all men. And so you as a private individual, those are things that we need to do. We spend $28,000 in Alabama to incarcerate someone in prison. The median, I believe, and Joel can correct me, I believe the median salary for a teacher in Alabama is $38,000. Do you think that we have put things out of kilter? $28,000 to imprison, $38,000 to work with the most important things or the people that we have in our life, our children. So we've wandered so far from God, moral decay. I'm going to do this because I said that I was, and I just want to tell you, I had it memorized, but I won't be able to remember it now and get through in time. But the love and unity that exists here at Oak Mountain, it is just on a par with what I think God wants us to be. We have elders and deacons. We have public speaking. We have teachers teaching class. We have those who visit the sick, those who visit nursing homes, those who lead in singing. Waiting on the Lord's table, taking care of the building, providing meals for those in need. And I would like to say that Mary and Joe Smith, if you've ever received the benefits of their cooking or been in their home, they are truly great brothers and sisters in the church here. Phone tree members, fixing the bulletin board or visual screens, providing transportation for those in need, individual gifts to people in need, giving of our means on the first day of the week as we're commanded. Acts 20:7, the Lord's Supper. Flower Fund members and brother and sister John and Nancy, they handle that. That's not something that the church does. That's something that we as individuals, when they tell us that the flower fund is low, we give to them and they make sure that flowers are sent to those who are grieving over the loss of loved ones. Classes that meet, and I think this is one of the great things, that within the last 6 months, classes that meet after worship to study the Bible. People open up their homes and invite groups of all ages to come in and to study the Bible. Calling or visiting those who are slack in attendance. Public prayers and private prayers. Preparing the Lord's Supper for a certain period of time. Closing the building. Opening your home. Passing out gospel meeting announcements. And we're going to have one coming up in a very short, February the 12th. The monthly ladies' meetings at Sister Little's house where they send out cards to people who have visited with us for things. Ushers who do this, those who attend funerals, the home Bible studies. You know, this thing It didn't last, Bob, like I thought. I thought I'd be through with everything I knew to say. But I do want to say something to those of you. Let me find this now. You'll just have to give me a little time. I spent time doing this. I don't know if you ever did as a teacher. I would just draw a blank sometimes. But I want to talk to those people that who need to. And our prayer is, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, that something would be said or done that would cause you to realize your condition and to obey Him. If you've wandered away and you are a member of the Lord's church, that you repent of these things and you come back to Him there. But I had it in an order, but I have since lost it. But I want you to know that I started to say that I'm glad that you let me do this. I've spent 3 months planning on this right here, and I have enjoyed it. But I want to tell you again what a wonderful group of brothers and sisters we have here. Don't ever forget that. We really do. We love each other and we love the Lord. If you're not a member of the church, in just a moment we're going to stand and we're going to ask you if you would like to render obedience to the gospel, to be baptized. And listen, it doesn't have to be right now when we do this. It can be after service. You call Bob Hutto at 3 o'clock this morning. He'll meet you here at the building and we'll baptize you into the Lord. We need true worshipers. If you wandered away, our prayer to you is we still love you. God still loves you. Repent of the things that you've done wrong in your life and He'll forgive you. And we're going to, Ben, if you will, to lead us in our invitation song at this time.